We began a series in the book of Haggai last week, and it's kind of a short Old Testament prophecy, and we said that as you read the scripture, you need to interpret the Bible through the lenses of the finished and complete work of the cross. So everything we read, no matter where we read it in scripture, we need to see that in light of what Jesus accomplished on the cross as he forgave us our sins, as he took the wrath of God upon himself. And so we talked about this reality that when Haggai is prophesying to the people, we had a historical backdrop we were coming off of, and we're not going to play that video this. We had a 5-minute video last week that was historical. So if you didn't get to see that, you can take out your phone. You can get our Harvest app, and you can go there. If you'll go to the app and you pick media, and you go to Sunday sermons, you pick the graphic that you see on the wall. It says, consider your ways. Right at the very top says, introduction to Haggai. That's really a 5-minute history lesson. If you missed that last week, I would encourage you to listen to that this week so you can get the historical backdrop. But they were coming from exile in Babylon back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Which, what did that mean? In that time, the temple was a physical place where the presence of God was working, and where he dwelled, and where he dwell among them. And so we said, in light of the cross, right now the New Testament says we are the temple. The people are the temple. So it says we're living stones, according to 2 Peter. We're being built together as a spiritual house. And so we heard last week that God is calling us to rebuild his temple. What does that mean? That means we build people. We encourage people. It's the mission statement of our church, making disciples who make his way known. In Matthew 28, 19 and 20, we get that reality and that mission from Jesus as he was about to leave. He said, go into all the world and make disciples. What is a disciple? It's a devoted follower, fully devoted follower of a teacher. And so our teacher is Jesus. And so as we take his word, this holy Bible, 66 books, Old and New Testament, as we read this word, the Holy Spirit makes it alive to us and gives us direction for our daily life. And so we learned last week that God is calling us to consider our ways. Are we putting first? He said that you're building your own house when my house lies desolate. So we're not talking about physical structures. We're talking about the people of God, the church. And he gave us this incredible promise in chapter 1. If we would return to his word and obey and rebuild his house, he said, I will be with you. Now we talked theologically last week, and we said, according to Psalms, that God is all places at all times. Where can I go that I can't find your presence? And so that's reality. But there's also a different reality when you know that God is with you. Have you ever known a person that you said, man, God is with that person? There's a difference, isn't there? What would you use to describe that person? They have a special kind of faith. They have a peace. They have an overwhelming sense of purpose in their life. And you say, God is with them. And that's the kind of God is with you that Haggai promises in chapter 1. But it only comes to those who obey his word. We're not talking about whether your salvation is in question. If you've received Christ, that's secure. According to the book of John, when you receive Jesus and you confess your sins and you receive him into your heart, it says, I place you in my hand, Jesus says. And he says, my Father then places you in his hand, and it is a place of eternal security. You cannot have your salvation taken from you. But this book of Haggai is not talking to babies in Christ. It's talking to mature believers in Christ who say, I've grown from baby status to young man, young woman, and I want to join my Father in the Father's work. And the Father's work is building people. And so, as we talk about that review of last week, and that he says they reverenced God, and he said, I am with you. See, when we, those who are mature, step up to the challenge of obeying the word of the Lord, then what we do is we see, as we speak God's word, as we minister to people, as we make disciples, as we do the work of the kingdom, new babies are born spiritually. And so we're going to celebrate that here in just a couple of weeks here at our church. We're going to have a baptism celebration. I want you to understand something. Those of you who have committed your life to building up the body of Christ, what we're about to see on this screen is a direct result of your work.
Hey, Harvest. We wanted to let you know that we're about to have a baptism celebration here at the church. We think it's important that everyone understands the significance of why we have these celebrations and what we really believe about baptism here at Harvest. We believe that water baptism is symbolic of what Jesus accomplished for us in his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Being lowered into the water represents our old life dying. And just as Jesus died and was buried in the tomb, who we were and what we did is now dead. Our past and our future sins are forgiven. And when we're raised out of the water, we come to the realization that our new life in Him is made possible because Jesus was resurrected and ascended into heaven, sending us the Holy Spirit as our helper. We are a new creation in Christ. Baptism is a celebration, both for the people being baptized and those who are there to witness. We don't just watch, no, we celebrate with people as they take their next step, proclaiming to the world that Jesus has brought them from death to life. Our slogan here at Harvest is Come for Life, and there's no better picture of this than baptism. We celebrate because the people being baptized have a new life in Jesus. They have been made brand new. They're forgiven. They're free. They are a new creation. If you would like to experience the power of baptism, declaring to the world that you have a new life in Christ, please register for our upcoming baptism as soon as you can.
All right, so let's connect the dots this morning. When we obey God, new life comes to those who are not alive in Christ yet. That is the result of a church that's stepped up to the challenge to obey the voice of the Father. That's exciting to me. I can't help but watch that and just get this warm feeling and a wonderful smile comes over my face. I'm so excited to see when people receive Christ. And then we get to grow with Christ. We get to mature and we get to step into our destiny in the kingdom of God. And so I want us to get right back into the book of Haggai in chapter 2. Now, I want to say this just for those of you who are interested. I believe prophetically that we have, as a church, we're between chapter 1 and chapter 2 in the now of 2018. God is speaking to us now about our future. So here we go. Haggai chapter 2. Let me say this before we get into it. I kind of want to give you an overview. If, what we learned last week, if we are building the temple, the church, the people of God, if that is who we are, then these are the promises that God gives us. I just realized this in first service. It's the three P's: presence, provision, and peace. Okay? He's going to promise that He'll be with us. His presence will be with us. He's going to promise us that if we are really doing His work, we'll always have plenty of money, provision, to do that work. And then number three, a bold promise in verse number 9. My peace is with you. I don't know a believer in this world who doesn't want those three things at work in their life. And I want to tell you today, it's as simple as this: obey the voice of the Father. What if our Christian relationship came right back to the very beginning of childlike faith? And we said, all the complexities of all, we kind of confused. You know what all the complexities of following God is? It's religion. Religion is man's attempt to become smart and really skillful. And it's just like what Jim said in the offering today. God is simple. He's smarter than me. He has my best interest in mind, and His ways are perfect. That's the simplicity of following God. Do what He says. You never outgrow the status of child with God. Oh, I know you're grown-ups. I know you're adults. I know you have big titles in your job and in your family and in society. But with God, your title is always child, son, daughter. And if we can embrace that, then we don't have to figure everything out. Just as a little child hears the voice of mom and dad, just as a little child hears the father and obeys, what if our life got that simple again? I think that's where peace comes from. When we come back to simple obedience. We talked about two big words last week, conviction and obedience. Words you don't hear very much in the church anymore because they're a little bit confrontive. It's not just pat you on the backside and say, you're doing a good job, little Jimmy, little Susie. I mean, I get it. That's what you do with little kids, right? They try to take a little step and fall down and go, oh, good job. But if you want to mature, sometimes there's a challenge. Like, hey, you can do this. Hey, you need to work harder at this. Did you know Jesus? Jesus never worried about confronting people. Have you read the New Testament? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is full of Jesus really telling people the truth, and sometimes it offended them. He never did it in anger. He never did it out of resentment or bitterness, but he always spoke in love. But even the Son of God in love confronted people with the truth. Listen, the Bible brings conviction. If you really read this book, it's going to confront you on something. Get used to it. It's not a bad word. Conviction is not condemnation. Conviction is bringing you to a point of decision and belief based on truth. And then this word of obedience, right? Well, that's just simple. You don't have to explain that. Do what he says. Okay, here we go. If we do what he says, he promises to be with us. He promises to provide for us. And he promises to give us peace. Man, I am looking forward to those three things. How about you? So we put on our lenses of the complete and finished work of the cross, and now we're jumping right back in to Haggai chapter 1. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet saying, now, you got to understand this, guys. Just 1 month before, in verse 15, it said, on the 24th day of the sixth month is when they got excited about obeying God, and God said, I'm with you, and they worshiped. They had a big worship service, and God said, I'm with you. 1 month later, they're already discouraged. Does that sound like humanity or what? Oh, yeah! Woo! I'm going for God. I'm going to obey the Lord. Everything in my life is going to be about Jesus. 1 month later, oh, God, this is terrible. I mean, this is the plight of humanity. This is where we pick up the story. The prophet has to come only 1 month later to lift them up and encourage them. Y'all follow along with me. Haggai speaks in verse 2. Speak now to, God says to Haggai, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. So speak to the governor, speak to the priest, and speak to all the people, and say this, who is left among you who saw the temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? Does it not seem to you like nothing in comparison? Stay with me. But now take courage, Zerubbabel, and take courage, Joshua, and take courage, the people of the land. Take courage, declares the Lord, and work. I want a word from God. I want a word from God. Get encouraged and get back to work. Well, that's not the word I wanted. That didn't feel warm and fuzzy. Now listen, he tells them again, I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts. Now listen to me. If God Almighty is making a declaration, shouldn't you think it's important? I think this is a word for us. Have you ever, in your walk with Christ, made this statement? This just hadn't turned out like I thought it would. This isn't what I expected. That salvation experience was glorious. I apologize. I'm going to try to make this better. That salvation experience was glorious. Man, I felt God. I saw heaven open up. It was, whoa. I mean, it was awesome. And then, flat. Have you ever found yourself there? We talked about it last week, spiritually. Have you ever said, I just feel like my prayers aren't reaching heaven? I just feel dry. See, the Lord is speaking to us. The only reason you tell someone to take courage is because they're discouraged. If we're honest today, every one of us have run into the brick wall of discouragement as we've tried to pursue God and tried to do His work. Do you know that making disciples is not easy? Getting people saved is a lot easier than making disciples. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Y'all can talk back. It really helped me. See, salvation is the introduction to the growth process. It's the introduction to the path. And our job is not just to get people saved. Saved is important. Don't misunderstand me. But that's not what Jesus said our ongoing work is. Yes, people receive Christ. They understand they need a Savior. They receive the forgiveness. Jesus comes in my heart. I get baptized. And that's the first entrance into the kingdom. And the rest of the way is growing and changing. And His ways are not my ways. And my thoughts are not like His thoughts. And I need to be conformed. Don't be conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of my mind. It's a process. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it's exciting. But every once in a while, it's discouraging. When you wake up in the morning and you go, this guy, I've been trying to help make a disciple out of him. And he's done that again. He called me again. I thought we were over that. Yeah, making disciples takes patience. Making disciples is not just elation all the time. Y'all going, you're not doing a good job of talking me into wanting to make disciples. It is the most fulfilling work you'll ever do. But it can be discouraging. Because of our humanity, we have grandiose thoughts about how things will happen a certain way instead of just being like a child and saying, what do you want to do today, Dad? Isn't that a lot easier? Don't you talk about how children don't worry about the bills, they don't worry about the job, they don't worry about the economy, they don't worry about the weather. They just get them and say, hello, Daddy. What if you got back to that place? Hello, Father. Here I am. I'm in this adult brain and this adult body, but in my heart, I'm still just your child. Tell me where we're going today, Dad. Tell me what we're doing today. Doesn't that bring peace? You go, that's way too simple. You think that really works? Well, let me just ask you this. How's what you're doing working? Okay, we'll go on. If you're anxious, if you're worried, if you're discouraged, you need the word of the Lord to come to you and say, take courage, church. Don't let a little buffeting of the enemy, don't let a little threat of the enemy, don't let a lie that he's sown into your mind or somebody who confronts you and tries to discourage you, don't let that get you down. Don't you know this Bible teaches this is a spiritual war? Don't you know you will be buffeted from time to time? Take courage and get back to work. I can hear my dad telling me that. Suck it up and get to work, son. See, we don't like people challenging us, but the Lord is challenging us today. He's smarter than us. He's got your best interest at heart. And His ways are always best. The Lord would challenge us today if we could receive it, not condemn us, not put us down. He's trying to elevate us from an immature baby position to another level of our destiny in the kingdom of God. I am with you, declares the Lord. Verse 5. Wait, let me tell you this. In Galatians 6, verse 9 in the New Testament, we see a parallel. Do not grow weary in well-doing. If you will continue in due season, you'll reap. But do not grow weary. Don't get discouraged. And then in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, we're told this, I've not given you. God says to all Christians today, I've not given you a spirit of fear, but of power, love and a sound mind, of discipline. And so God would say to us this morning, fear not, don't be discouraged, get back on your feet and get to work. Get to work doing what? Building up people around you. Praying for people, having discipleship conversations with people, showing people a better path in life, telling the truth, loving people more than you love yourself. Verse 5 says, for the promise which I made to you when you came out of Egypt, let's stop right there. What would that mean to us? Coming out of Egypt is the process of leaving the world behind us. It's a salvation picture. So he's saying, when you got saved, the promise I gave you when you got saved, when you came out of Egypt, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. Can we just look at the truth here? How many Christians are discouraged? How many Christians have given up on the work? How many Christians are full of fear about their future? And God would say to you, my child, my son, my daughter, do not fear. When you came out of Egypt, I gave you my Holy Spirit, the God of the universe, God Almighty, literally dwells in my human body. And I'm afraid, but I don't have to be afraid. I'm discouraged, but there's no reason, because Christ is in me. The New Testament says Christ in me through the Holy Spirit is the hope of glory, is the power of God. Verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. Verse 7, I will shake all the nations, and they will come with the wealth of the nations, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. I think it's amazing. As the Proverbs 13:22 says, the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. What did I say the promise was? I'll be with you and I'll always provide for you. He says, I'm going to shake the heavens. I'm going to shake the earth, the sea and the dry land, and the wealth of the nations is going to come rolling into your house. Do you know people who are focused on money find a lot of fear and anxiety, but people who are focused on the kingdom first find a lot of peace and a lot of provision and a lot of presence in the kingdom. What does Matthew 6 say? Seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all this will be added to you. Listen, God's the one who set up the earth. God knows we need money. God knows that ministry takes money. God knows that building the church takes money. And don't you see, he's calling us spiritually to obey him, put his kingdom first. And he says, and by the way, I'm going to load you up with riches because I know I can trust you now. Because you're seeking me, not money. Whoo. I like that. I like that. God really wants to bless us. God knows that you need money to do ministry. God knows that our church needs money to do ministry, because God's not stupid to the way the world works. He's smarter than we are. But you know what? We get confused. We go chasing after money instead of chasing after God. That's what our whole culture teaches our kids. Pick a career that will make you the most money. And they don't tell you this, but make you as miserable as you could ever be. What we need to teach our kids is pursue God and the calling he has on your life, and watch him miraculously shake the heavens, put the money in your pocket when you need it. Come on, church. I'm about to get charismatic up here. Okay, that's as close to a prosperity message as you're going to get out of me. But it's Bible. Listen, he says, the gold is mine. The silver is mine, says the Lord of hosts. I'll just let you read it yourself. 3 John verse 2 of chapter 1 says this, I pray that you would prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Do you see that's soul first? That's kingdom first. But God never said he didn't want his children to be well provided for. Philippians says it clearly. I'll provide for all of your needs according to my riches that are in Christ Jesus. Now, which riches do you think are more powerful? The riches of this world or the riches of Jesus Christ? Now, listen, you got a choice to make. What's going to be first in your life? See, we're grown-ups, right? We think we have all this responsibility to provide and to take care of. And I would tell you that's not true. You're not to provide for your family. You're to trust God to provide for your family. And then you're to steward what he puts in your hands. Nothing I have really belongs to me. Nothing we own. We may have a title deed sitting in the safety deposit box at our bank that says we own this, that, or the other, but it all belongs to God. The silver is mine. The gold is mine, declares the Lord. Psalm 24 says the whole earth belongs to the Lord. Do you think we might have the wrong perspective? I know we do. Excuse me for yelling. I know we have the wrong perspective. I'm not trying to shame anybody, I'm not trying to condemn anybody, but look at the culture you walk into tomorrow morning. The culture is not encouraging you to seek the kingdom first. But the Word of God is. The church here, we are encouraging you, seek the kingdom first. We have a big vision at this church. God's given it to us. We want to reach 10% of our population. You think we can do that if we're poor? I don't think it's possible. We could argue about that all day long, but it takes money to do ministry, and God says, seek me first, obey my voice, and I'll be with you, I'll provide for you, and on top of that, you can kick back because I'm going to give you peace. How about it, church? Kick your feet up. God's in control. The only thing you need to work hard at is obeying the voice of the Father. Remember we said this last week? What's the last thing God told you to do? And are you doing it? Man, I'm telling you, following Jesus is not complicated. You know what makes it complicated? We do. You know what all this complication is called? Religion. God doesn't want a religious system. He wants a relationship with every individual, every one of you connected to him. He lives in your heart. Can you imagine what that looks like if we're all completely submitted to the Holy Spirit? It's crazy what the potential is. And we said this last week too. Some of you go, I've never heard from God. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, let me give you an invitation. At the end of this service, there's going to be several people standing at the front. Come tell them, I've never heard from God. They'll pray for you and help you get on the path to hearing God in your heart. John 10 says it, my sheep hear my voice and follow me. Every Christian has the potential to hear and obey. Let's read verse 9 and let's go home. Verse 9 says this, the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place, I will give peace. Would you say peace with me? Peace. Say it one more time. Peace. Declares the Lord of hosts. The declaration of our Father. Don't look back. What you thought was glorious, look up here. Look forward. Look to the future, because the latter glory will be greater than the former. And on top of that, peace. Will you stand with me? Philippians 4 verse 7 in the New Testament says, there is a peace that passes understanding. I think a lot of us in this room today need a fresh dose of that peace. The anxiety of this world is trying to close in on you. I'm telling you, God has peace for you. I'm going to invite our prayer team to come now. I believe that God is speaking to many of us right now. And I just invite you to close your eyes with me just for a second. Let's give God a chance here to speak to our hearts. Lord, we pray together right now that these words, we know they're not just words, they're inspired words of God. So Holy Spirit, wake up our hearts to hear the words that we need to hear. Individually, only you, Holy Spirit, can interpret this message individually to every person exactly the way they need to hear it. So, Lord, we say whatever's been spoken this morning that's from your heart, let it resound inside of us. Give us courage to stay steady in the work. Give us faith that you are with us. Give us confidence that you'll always provide for us. And now, God, I pray that the peace that passes understanding will guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. If you feel the Lord moving in your heart, you want to hear his voice, or you have any other need this morning, please feel free. Come now as we sing this song. Come let one of these people pray with you, and let the peace of God guard your heart. Have a blessed week. Please sing with us as we close our service together.